School of Life family, what is going on? I know that we have been on a sabbatical. It's been like 2 years, I feel like, since we actually did a live episode. You know, coronavirus, that thing whole happened, and,
man,
you know, just being busy with life. I was busy. Pastor Allen was busy.
Yes.
And different things. So I know I started cheating. So if y'all haven't noticed, what I've been doing is I've been uploading my sermons to the podcast. So if you have heard Good Friendships, if you have heard Reality Check, those are all messages coming that I'm preaching on Sundays, because I just wanted to give you guys some content until we could figure things out. But guess what? We're back.
We back. But you know what? Is that really cheating, though?
I guess it's not.
I mean, it's not, because, I mean, if you can't make it to P.F. Chang's, right, you can pick up the bag.
Yeah, you know.
You know, and yeah, it still tastes good.
You're so right. You're right about that. It's good to be back. It's good to be with my brother and my friend. But let me say this real quick. Listen, I've noticed that we haven't got any new comments or any ratings on this podcast since we started it. Now, if you go look, it's a 5-star podcast, and I see the numbers, so I know that you guys are listening. But I need you guys to do more than listen. I need you to rate the podcast. Yeah. Okay, the podcast needs some new ratings. Go rate. Go leave a comment. If something blesses you, it doesn't matter what episode, just go do that for me. And please, my listenership does not reflect my Instagram, okay? So y'all need to go follow me on Instagram. Now, for the record, my Instagram got hacked. It was somebody that I knew, a good friend of mine, I guess, her page got hacked. And then she sent me some link, whatever, and was like, hey, click this link or whatever. And I'm thinking it's her. So I clicked the link, and the next thing I know, it logged me out of my page. Man. So I started my page all over again. So follow me at Mr. Hearn _. I think it's 2 underscores. But if you type in Mr. Hearn, you will follow me on Instagram. You can follow me on Facebook at Justin Hearn. And also, you can follow Pastor Damon Allen. Go ahead and give him your Instagram.
At D_Allen_blessed.
There you go. D_Allen_blessed. So, man, we've missed you guys. And today, we just going to catch up, and we're just going to talk about some current events, and then we'll get content, we'll get School of Life content going for y'all next week, where we have a little bit more time to really bump heads and put some stuff together, man. But, man, how you feeling? What's good?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling really good. Okay. You know, like you said, it's been pretty rough with a lot of stuff we've been dealing with.
Yeah.
Not just coronavirus, but, man, it's just been a lot. I mean, I know we got, in the last 2 weeks, the Ukraine thing going on. And, man, that has really been breaking my heart.
Okay.
Watching the videos of some of those people over there.
Okay.
And, you know, I got a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he came from a country that was torn up from war.
Okay.
And some of the stories that he's told me about how his family got over to this country, and how they had to pay their way over here to kind of get away from some of the things. With the Bosnia-Serbian war back in the 90s. It's crazy that stuff is playing out right now, man.
Yeah.
And I guess in my heart, you know, it makes me look at my situations a lot different today than I did even 3 weeks ago.
Come on.
You know, I try not to complain.
Mm-hmm.
But it creeps into all of us, right?
Yeah.
But then when I see people going through, and, you know, a father has to go fight for his country's freedom and leave his children while his, you know, his parents leave, or his kids leave, and his wife and all that, it kind of puts me in a different perspective of, man, you know, maybe we don't have it that rough after all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, as much as a lot of us may have hated Donald Trump, right? Like, let's just be honest, right? Like,
the very
appearance of him on TV.
He's like, oh my
God. He's very polarizing. There's some people who just love him. They absolutely love him.
Yeah.
And then it's the rest of us who be like, man, this dude a clown. But when you kind of look at him, when you look at him in comparison to some other dictators or other world leaders, you be like, okay, this guy ain't as bad as Putin,
right?
Or this guy ain't as bad as Kim Jong-un or all these other folks. So, you know, that's where I'm at right now. I have a sympathy.
Yeah, so, like, I heard, like, some chatters and different things like that, but I have, like, purposely tuned it out. So like I'm really like not aware of what's going on, and I've purposely like have like, because I just was like, nope, not interested, like not interested, and I just kind of tuned it out. But what I did end up coming across was some girl on Instagram. I don't know her name, but maybe you guys have heard of her. I don't even know her name to tell you guys. But anyway, but I guess she did like the ghetto version of what happened. So okay. She told this story like, basically, you know, Russia, or like she get this gay, this crazy like baby daddy, baby mama analogy of like what was going on type of thing.
Okay.
And, you know, that's and now, different. You know, yeah, like all it was right. just crazy, but it's like, from that, I was like, oh, so this is what's going on.
Okay.
So I think what she explained, and then I want you to clarify, like, what's going on and why everything is happening, whatever. So something to the standpoint of, basically, Ukraine is Russia's ex. You know what I mean? They used to date.
Yeah,
they used to be together.
Yeah, you used to kick it. Yeah.
And then Ukraine decided, like, you know what? I'm gonna be a bad single person. I'm gonna be by myself. It. And I'm gonna work on myself, and I'm gonna develop, and I'm gonna work on me. I'm gonna fix my credit. I'm gonna go to counseling.
Solo,
I'm gonna do all of this stuff. Solo dolo. And then once Russia saw Ukraine getting it all together, they pulled back up outside. Like, okay, I see you. And then a new boyfriend, like, oh, what's going on? Like, why is, you know, your ex sitting outside your house?
Yeah.
Well, they don't, you know, and Russia is saying, oh, well, we don't want you. We just here to observe.
We're just checking on you.
Just looking at this. We're just seeing what's going on. But we just here. But we ain't going to make no move. And then, you know, then they go ahead and then make a move.
That's it.
So that was pretty much how the person explained it. But if you want to explain, you know, more better than that, what's going on.
That
go
analogy
ahead.
Is pretty accurate.
It's pretty accurate.
It's pretty accurate. I mean, at one point, the Ukraine was part of the USSR.
Okay.
And they broke off for their independence.
Okay.
Joined the EU and the European Union. And basically doing, you know, their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that has always left a sour taste in Russia's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
When you get with somebody like, you know, or when you follow behind somebody like mm-hmm. Putin, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's a dude who has, like, a lot of connections, like, in the Kremlin. Even when he wasn't the president,
mm-hmm.
he kind of was the president.
Okay.
You know, that's kind of how he moves.
Okay.
And that has always been a black eye with him. Mm-hmm. This ain't the first time he didn't try to invade them.
Okay.
Like, I think he did it like maybe 8 or 9 years ago, mm-hmm. and then they had something else going on like 10 years ago. It's always been that tumultuous relationship.
Okay.
They just always been there.
Mm-hmm.
And the poor Ukraine, a lot of people would be like, all right, why do they want the Ukraine?
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at it from an agricultural standpoint,
mm-hmm.
like, that country is rich.
Mm-hmm.
The land is rich. The minerals are rich.
Mm.
The uranium deposits and things like that, where you can make nuclear weapons and all that stuff, it's all right there. So, you know, they're always, it's a rich country. It's not, they're not super poor.
Okay.
It's not like a lot of people think, oh, they're super poor. No, they're not a super poor country or anything like that. But they're rich in resources. So they're going to always be a country that everybody kind of want. Like, you know, that's the girl on the block everybody wants.
Right.
But, you know, it's kind of tough looking at these things. Like, it's all videos all on Facebook.
Wow.
Instagram. And I really haven't been on social media that much. And I've seen them. And I'm just like people are sending them to me like, man, you going to pray for them or whatever.
So let me get this straight. So this is not like, this is like, they're, because I know usually when we fight wars and stuff like that, it's always in like almost like deserts. You really don't really see a domestic war where people, we see terrorist attacks, but you know, Canada trying to pull up on the border, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's almost like a domestic war, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, people live in those areas. So what are some of the videos that you've seen? And
so one of them, And this is probably the one that sits in my mind the toughest.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little boy, and he's in a car, right? And basically him and his mother were walking. He tells this story, right? Like, they kind of detail it in the video. And he's in the car, and they got him on video, and he's telling about his father. And he's like, yeah, we were walking, and we thought we were going to take, like, 3 or 4 days to walk to where we're going. My father, he left us to go fight and sell things in order to help the army and protect our home in Kiev and all this. And little boy crying, man. I mean, he couldn't be no more than 8 years old, right? And just to kind of see that just kind of broke my heart, right? Just because, you know, it's a lot of things going on here, and we just we take our freedoms for granted sometimes, right? Like, you know, people will talk about the police, or they'll talk about the military, they talk about politicians, but honestly, you know, we don't have it as bad as some other countries, like nowhere near as bad as them. Or it was another video of a mother, the son was about to put a mother on the train, that way she can get to safety and whatnot, and you know, the mother's crying and she trying to hug him. And she knows she got to leave, but she really don't want to leave. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things. Yeah. And it's so many of those videos are just, you know, the armaments, the armored vans and trucks going down the street. It looked like something off a movie. It really does. And it's crazy because nobody wants to fight with Russia. We really don't. Like, nobody, they, you know, everybody think North Korea crazy. Look, Russia crazy, and they got the muscle to back it up. So you don't want to fight with Russia, but and we in some times where we really do need to pray.
So do you think, or you think the United States is going to get involved, or what you think?
Well, right now, they're getting involved with sanctions.
Okay.
Right? And that's probably the best way to do it. Like, we do not want to send soldiers over there. We do not. Because that's just going to be a bloody war. It ain't like Russia don't have a good army. They got the strong army.
Okay.
They got a strong army. They got a lot of weapons. They've been stockpiling this stuff for forever. And you know, we not crazy. like the United States ain't crazy. They know what's all there. But hopefully we don't send soldiers. But they involved with, like, sanctions.
Okay.
Like, cutting off their food, cutting off their grain. And that hurts the people, but it also hurts the politicians as well. Because then the people start turning on the politicians there, and that's what's going to really exact change.
Wow, man. Well, definitely shout prayers up for that whole situation. And, you know, I just pray that whatever peaceful resolve that doesn't displace too many people, I just pray that it happens.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you know, times of war is even biblical.
Yeah.
You know, people want land, they go and get it.
That's it.
I mean, it's like, you know, it's just like, you know, so I just hope that, though, some type of peaceful resolve, you know, can happen. And I hope and pray that too many people are not displaced and lives are not lost. Yeah. But let's shift gears, man. Let's talk about the Super Bowl, man.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Super Bowl was just, you know, a couple weeks ago, about two, 3 weeks ago. About 3 weeks ago. What was about 3 weeks ago. So, did your team win?
Well, I mean, the Rams won. So, I was happy for Matt Stafford.
Okay, all right. Me too.
I mean, you know, I couldn't go against Matt Stafford.
But I'm not on this whole tip, though, Detroit Rams. Like,
no.
To me, that's sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I know we're from Detroit. I know we love Detroit. But Detroit is not in the Super Bowl. Matt Stafford is.
That's right.
So, I rooted for the Rams. But I'm not no Detroit Ram. I'm not doing that. That is sorry.
That's blasphemy.
Sorry can get. But I was definitely happy for Matt Stafford, man. And to think that, you know, people will. And you know, one thing that made me mad about the game, though, was that they didn't give him the MVP. Now, I know he threw two interceptions, but one interception was a tip.
Yeah.
And then when I was the second, no, that was the second interception. The first interception, to me, was more so on the receiver. It was a 50-50 ball in the end zone. So that was a good punt. Yep. You know, they wasn't in field goal range.
He had
range.
To go for it.
Right. It wasn't in field goal range. He wasn't going, you know what I mean? So it's like, I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
And they gave it to Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp only had 92 yards.
Mm-hmm.
92 yards. So it wasn't like he had 200-some yards. Matt Stafford had three touchdowns. Cooper Kupp had two. But the whole point is, Cooper Kupp cannot score a touchdown unless Matthew Stafford throws him the ball.
That's true. That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
Yeah.
So I felt like, I don't know, that was slighted. Like, I felt real excited they didn't give it to Matthew Stafford.
So let me jump in right
there.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Let me take off my pastor hat and put on my fantasy football hat.
All right. Oh, he ain't getting enough points, huh?
Look here, man. My season was over. I came in second.
Okay.
I was in four leagues. I came in second in three of the four.
So believe it or not, I was in first place. I was like 8-6-0. Derrick Henry got hurt.
Ooh.
My season went to crap. So I made the playoffs, but I got knocked out the first round. So that, like, Derrick Henry getting hurt, it killed my. I was literally like 6-0.
Okay.
Killed my whole season.
Man.
So, and I did have Cooper Kupp too.
That was tough, man.
Yeah.
Can you remember who you picked up instead of Derrick Henry?
You know, Where's my phone at? I can tell you.
Because I, man, you know, I am a fantasy football aficionado. Like this.
Really?
Yeah, I am. Well, I won't say aficionado. I just love it. That's all. So, but I got to agree with you, right? Because, you know, I would have thought that Matthew Stafford would have got it or Aaron Donald. Just for the sake that Aaron,
the defense,
yeah, he came up with some clutch plays.
He did
the entire, I mean, like the entire game. And if anybody has really been watching football, like if you really watch it, Joe Burrow, the last 3 weeks of the season, going into the playoffs, turned into Joe Montana. He was just, Joe Burrow is the reason I didn't come in first place in all of my leagues. He is the reason.
Really?
And I started to pick him up. He was on the waiver wire, like off and on until like week 15, 14. And I was like, I should pick him up as a backup because I had Justin Herbert.
Okay.
But regardless of that, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they gave it to Cooper Kupp because of how good he runs routes.
Okay.
And a lot of those final drives, he got extra yards because he runs really good routes.
Because he ran routes.
Yeah, he runs good routes.
I get
routes.
It. And then he had, like, the best season ever. So I get that. But I'm like, man, you got to give it to the quarterback, man.
Yeah.
So Team Killer Hearn was 10-4.
Okay.
I went 10-4.
That's good, right?
So,
that's good.
I had Jared Allen as my quarterback.
Okay.
I had Montgomery from Chicago. He got hurt, too.
Yeah, he
so
did.
So, both of my running backs got hurt. So, Montgomery got hurt, like, the second game of the season, and then Derrick Henry went down.
Yeah.
So, then I had Foreman from Tennessee. I had Cooper Kupp. I had Jalen Waddle. I had Hook as a tight end.
Okay.
I had Sutton. I had the Bills defense. And I had Tucker from Baltimore. And then I had TJ Hockenson, Derrick Henry, who was hurt. I had Gaskins as another running back. I had Harris. And my backup quarterback was Tagovailoa. And I picked up Robinson from Chicago, who also Allen Robinson,
oh,
who got
man.
Hurt. And then I had Bateman from Baltimore. So I had like 10-4 is not bad.
That's a great.
But to get knocked out, but I'm telling you though, it was because Derrick Henry went out. Derrick Henry. So it's just like, man, I finally, because last year I just kind of like did whatever. This year I was like, no, I'm getting into it. So okay. I looked up stats. I looked up everything. I was like, I'm playing to win this year. And sure enough, I'm telling you, I think I went, because I thought I won less games, but I must have went 8-0. I was like 8-0 to start the season.
That's great.
And then Derrick Henry got hurt and then downhill from there.
That killed my ESPN league.
Yeah,
so like
that's ESPN.
The ESPN league killed me. My Yahoo league, I did great.
Okay.
I mean, I ended up second in all those leagues.
Okay.
Like every one of them. So I mean, you know, I draft a lot. Like fantasy football time come or football season come, I'm all on it. Like
okay. So next year I'm gonna have to consult you with my draft again.
Well, I was just about to ask you if you guys have an extra spot.
Oh yeah, you can get in. You can get
okay,
in.
Okay. All right. I don't mind.
Yeah, the league that I'm in is basically, it's all Wayne County Sheriff. So it's one of James' boys. He invited me 1 year, and now I got in, and then we've been doing it every year. So it's all like they all like Wayne County Sheriffs and stuff like that. So it's a cool, fun league. They actually have a trophy.
Sweet.
A big old trophy, and then if you win, they put your plaque on the trophy, and then you get to keep it the next year. You get to keep it a year.
Okay.
And then whoever wins, they get the plaque put on it, and then they pass it to the next person. So it's
like
pretty
the Stanley
cool.
Cup.
Yeah.
Like the Stanley Cup.
Stanley Cup.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
I like
so,
that.
Yeah, I'll definitely get you in. So is there like a fantasy league for college?
Yeah, they do college.
Okay,
yeah,
I think I want to do college
as well. Like you can do NBA but see, I don't know enough about college like I used to. You know, ever since we had, you know, kids and all this.
Yeah.
And I used to work Saturdays, but now I don't work Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I can get into it. You know.
I mean, it's like college football is pretty easy because it's like, you know, Big Ten schools, you know, your Power Five conferences.
Yeah.
So, but getting down to, I wouldn't know how that would work because I wouldn't know players on Michigan State. Outside of that, you know, maybe Alabama.
Yeah.
But I really wouldn't know the players. So I think it must be like that'd be kind of interesting. But I think it would have to be different. It couldn't be like point spreads, but like how I don't know. I just think it would have to be different.
It would have to be different.
You would have to pick, like, somebody's offense, mm-hmm. somebody's defense. Like, it had to be something like that, because picking individual players on a college team, that would be just, I think it would be too much.
Well, I think it would be balanced out if you have each team gets, like, two quarterbacks. Like, you get a two-quarterback league.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you get 20 players.
Yeah.
If you get 20 players, that's not like the NFL where right. you got like nine guys to yeah, pick from and to pick all, from, yeah. you know, on your squad. You get 20 players. That'll kind of balance it out and give you some parity there if okay. you know what you're doing. But,
yeah.
You know, that's me. But let me ask you something about the Super Bowl, right?
Okay.
Let me shift gears back to that.
Yeah.
How you like the halftime show?
Loved it. So, I would say that, and I said this the other day, I said, man, I was talking to an older cat at work. I said, man, that was the best Super Bowl halftime performance I've ever seen. And the guy joked and he said, the best one I ever seen had Janet Jackson. So I said, okay. I know why. But then he says, oh, no, seriously. He says, did you see the one with Michael Jackson? I said, no. He said, the one with Prince? I said, no.
Yeah.
And so he said, so you got to go see those before you say that. And I said, you know what? You're right. So I'll say it's the best Super Bowl halftime show that I've seen.
Yeah.
I love it. It was the perfect representation of, like, black culture.
Yes.
I mean, you had Dr. Dre, you had Snoop Dogg, you had Mary J. Blige, and then you had Kendrick Lamar to represent the new class.
Yep.
You had Eminem, so even in some diversity mm-hmm. in there. And that was just amazing. But the thing that left me puzzled about the Super Bowl, and did you notice this, is where was Ice Cube? How did you have West Coast?
Yeah, yeah.
And I have Ice. Where was Ice Cube? Like, I don't
know if the beef is still going on. I don't think it is. But okay. I don't know.
That's what was strange to me about it.
Because let me see. Maybe you know this, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think he was with Death Row at that time, because I know he was with NWA,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, see, y'all think we just pastors and we preach. We don't right. know about this stuff. right. I know he was with NWA.
Right.
Right. And mm-hmm. then he left NWA and went to Interscope.
Right.
Interscope Records, him and Tupac.
Right.
Was with Interscope Records.
Yep.
Well, they ain't go together. But, right. you know, they both were in Interscope Records, which mm-hmm. wasn't Death Row.
Right.
So maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
And then I thought that too. So this is my random thoughts about it. My next thought was, if there was ever a perfect time to do a Tupac hologram, it was there.
It was
like, if you ever go do a Tupac hologram, like, that would be the perfect place to do it. And they didn't.
Huh. Wow.
So, like, that was two. But other than those two questions that arose, you're like, man, like, I was impressed from 50 Cent being upside down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, from the cars, like, mm-hmm. not only was the music good, but the sets were good, the
yes.
arrangements were good, the imagery, the cars, the low riders, the bikes, like, man, like,
it was LBC.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was LBC. Y'all pray for me. Y'all taking me back.
Man, it was that was amazing.
Yeah,
like, that was amazing.
It was. And you know, I put it up there as well. Like, mm-hmm. I've seen the Michael Jackson.
Okay.
I've seen the Prince.
Is that it? Can I find it on YouTube?
You you found it on
YouTube.
Okay,
I'm going to look at that.
It was pretty amazing back then, because, you know, even in my house when I was a kid, we watched the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Every single year.
Okay.
Like, that's just like what I've been doing all of my life.
Yeah.
I can't remember a year
mm-hmm.
I didn't at least watch some of the Super Bowl.
Right, right.
But, you know, the halftime show with Michael Jackson was really awesome. It was, I think they sung Make the World a Better Place or something like that.
Okay.
And they had people from all different cultures and all that on the field. But as far as the technology that we have and the ability to do all the things that we can do right now, it's totally different. And they hit it right on the head, you ask me.
Okay.
It was one of the greatest. I mean, some of the other great ones, Beyonce.
Okay.
Her Super Bowl was, man, that was sweet.
Yeah, she was with Bruno Mars, right?
Yep.
Wouldn't it be? Yeah, that
man,
was a dope.
That was
dope.
Amazing. That one was good. Katy Perry was good. But she came
yeah.
out on the Lion?
Lion.
That was
yeah.
I mean, it's not as good as these.
Right.
But that one was good as well. But sometimes it's hit or miss. But this year, amazing job.
And big ups to the NFL for, you know, tapping Jay-Z to lead that initiative of, you know, the performances and different things like that. I think that, you know, when you talk about, you know, diversity and inclusion, and I think the game of football is probably the biggest sport, you know, well, minus European football, you know, because whatever. But the second biggest sport, you know, in the world, and to have, you know, an entertainer like Jay-Z to head that initiative, I think that that's pretty dope. And so shout out to Jay-Z for putting together that dope experience, and I can't wait to see like Nas. Like, you got to top that. Like, you can't just do that and then just be like, all right, next year, I don't know, some country singer. Like, nah.
That's what's going to happen. You know that, right? Because that's what they do. They flip flop every year. That, like, I think the year before last, we had the Latino crowd. That was the culture for last year's Super Bowl. And then before that, it was like rock and roll. So every year, like, they kind of change it
up.
We won't be getting that too many years.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean, anything can happen.
And then too, the Super Bowl next year is in Phoenix, right? I think it's in Phoenix. I want to say it's in Phoenix next year.
Okay. Well, that's always been my bucket list. I've never been to a Super Bowl. That's on my bucket list. Okay. I got to get there 1 year. But the ticket's crazy, man. $10,000.
Yeah, they're crazy. But it's crazy because me and my wife was talking about that, and we talked about some major events that we wanted to go to, and the Super Bowl was one of them. So it was like, yeah, we're going one day, one how, we're going to make it work. We're going to get to the Super Bowl. But let's talk about, I guess we're going to stick with sports.
It's all good.
For the next couple of minutes. NBA All-Star Weekend. Did you watch that?
So let me tell you. Okay. Look. Give me 30 seconds.
Okay, go ahead. Take your time.
I have stopped watching the All-Star. I have not watched the NBA All-Star game in at least 7 years.
Wow.
At least. And it's all because of the dunk competition.
Okay.
That used to be, look, man, when I was a kid, my whole weekend, because I love sports, right? I love sports. I love watching baseball, football. I watch hockey. I'll even watch a little soccer. I'm not a fan of it. But, man, the dunk competition, like, I tried this year. I was like, all right, I'm going to peek in on it a little bit. And, you know, I got the little app on the phone. So I'm looking at this. I'm like, man, like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, this year was the worst dunk competition that I've ever seen in my life. It was terrible. I don't know. I think this is what I'll say about the All-Star Weekend. The All-Star game was good. I think the system they have is like the first two a certain amount of points – and like maybe the first quarter or something like that, and then whoever wins the quarter, the money goes to a specific charity.
Oh, sweet!
And then the final quarter is the race to 182 or 163.
Okay.
It's no time. It's just the first people to get to 163 points, which makes it more compatible, competitive, I should say, because it's like when people get close, it's like, oh shoot, we got to start playing.
Okay.
So I think they've done a good job with that, but the one thing that I enjoy was, like, the Rising Stars, whatever. Mm-hmm. The Rising Stars used to be, like, the rookies versus the sophomores. Okay, well, this year they did four teams. Okay. They did four different teams honoring four players that was on the NBA's 75 team. So one of the players was, like, Gary Payton had a team. And then the rest of the guys, people I've never heard of, I'd be quite honest.
Okay.
But it was, like, two black guys, two white guys type of thing, whatever. They all had a team.
Okay.
And these teams played against each other, and they played one quarter, and it was the first to 50 points or whatever.
Okay.
So it was like elimination. So you have four teams. So two teams play against each other, the first to 50. The next two teams play, and then those last teams play like in a championship
game
or whatever.
That sounds interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And Kay Cunningham ended up winning the MVP.
Really?
He did.
I did hear that. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that's what. Okay.
Yeah, but to me, the best team, though, you had Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, two Pistons, and you had a couple other guys. That was a good team. They played that team for the championship, and they lost to Kay Cunningham's team.
Okay.
That was a good team. But that was, like, really interesting. Huh. That was really interesting. And then they did these this team, like, this skill challenge. So it was, like, two players on each team, and they did it, like, honoring. So they took over, like, the best shots in NBA history. So it must have been five shots.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, so it was, like, a Robert Horry corner three. And then it was, like, the Jordan crossover spot. So they had, like, these five spots around the court, whatever. And it had to go back and forth.
Okay.
So if you took a shot, then I got to shoot a shot. But whoever could make all the baskets in under the most time would win. So
I'm
they did
have to
like
check that out.
Yeah, they did a whole bunch of different stuff this year. That was like, that was sweet. Like, that was what's up. And then surprisingly, a power forward won the 3-point contest. How that happened?
I heard about that.
I don't know how that happened. But that was different. I know Vegas and everybody was upset and heard about that because whoever voted on him, I betted on him. I know they got paid because
that's it.
Did nobody think that was gonna happen. And then a dunk contest, which is a total bust. I think that they were, like, trying too hard, trying to do things that was, like, it was just so many different attempts. And then it's, like, the last guy, he tried so hard, he never even attempted a dunk. So, to win a dunk contest.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he never even, because he ran out of attempts because he, whatever he was trying to do, he never did it. So, all the other guy had to do was dunk the ball, and basically he'll win.
And that was it.
And that was it. The dunk contest was, this was the first year it was terrible. Like, it was terrible.
Okay. I've really seen some bad ones.
Yeah.
I've seen some bad ones, but to, you know, of course, you know, people call me, oh, you watch it, you know, my boys and all that. I was like, no, man, I did not watch. Oh, this person missed this. And to me, that used to be the pinnacle of the competition. Like, I go back to, I don't even know, this is probably going to, you know, I don't even know if you know this one. Okay. D. Brown. With the mask, he was the first guy to tie the thing over his eye.
He
was the first one.
I
was in middle school. I'll never forget it. We came back to school Monday talking all about.
I think I've seen. I wouldn't have not seen that, but I think I have seen like that on like a reel or something.
Yeah,
like YouTube or something. I've seen it. That's crazy. I remember like the best duck comes I can remember was. The one a couple years ago with like Aaron Gordon, and it was Aaron Gordon versus somebody else.
I've seen that.
And I feel like Aaron Gordon should have. I feel like Aaron Gordon have been cheated a couple times, and he should have won.
If it's the one I'm thinking about, you're right.
Yeah,
because it wasn't a windmill he did. What the heck did he do? I think he took it behind the board, backboard, and then switched it to his left hand, and then cradled it.
Yeah,
and it was sweet. It was cool. That was a good dunk.
And whoever he was going against, I mean, they were literally going back to back, like great dunk after great dunk. But I thought that Aaron Gordon should have won. And then too, it was one year that was it Nate Robinson. It was a little guy that took it over him. When I feel like it's been two times where Aaron Gordon has got robbed. Of that dunk contest step. Is that Aaron Gordon play for Orlando?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
yeah.
So, man, it's been two years, basically. I think the last time we did a live episode would have been 2020, I think.
Was it?
Yeah, it's been 2020, man.
Wow, okay. Because
pretty much the end, probably the end of 2019. Matter of fact, let me go see. What was the last live episode? We did. Let me look real quick to see these episodes. I want to say that it must have been either 2020. So, dating wrong. Okay, dating wrong was November 13th of 2020. So, November of 2020 was the last time we did an episode.
So, about a year and a half.
Wow. So, let's talk about, because it's a school life podcast and because we always want to help you grow, learn, and listen. If you've been listening to us ramble and talk about sports, I know that a good 60% of our listeners are women. So if you bear it through.
We're sorry.
We're catching up, okay? This is what episode is going to be called, The Catch Up, okay? But if you bear it through that, we want to give you something.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, you know, if you got two, if you got three things that you've learned this year. Like, you know, what have you learned since November of 2020, what have you learned and what lessons can you give the people that has awakened you, if you will?
So I'll draw off some things that have really kind of helped me. One of the things I've learned is to trust the plan.
Trust God's the plan.
You know, he says in scripture, he says in Jeremiah 29:11, as a matter of fact, he says, I know the thoughts that I have for you, thoughts of good, not of evil. Thoughts of an expected end. And sometimes when we're living life, it's hard to trust that plan because of what you see.
Yeah.
And sometimes we let what we see dictate how we act.
That's good.
What we gonna do.
Yeah.
And sometimes we let what we see dictate what we believe. And all of that, you have to have, all of us have to have the type of faith where it's not reliant on what we see, but what he's told us. And that's what I mean by trust the plan. Trust God's plan. I would say that's one thing I've learned. Another thing
that's
I've
good
learned,
that's rich.
Yeah, well, that's God.
That's rich.
That's how he is, right?
That's rich.
Because I preached the whole sermon just about that, and I needed it, because sometimes, even in my life, even in ministry, sometimes things are presented to me in not the best light.
Okay.
Or sometimes ministry is we go through ministry and we kind of work ministry in not the best environments or situations. And sometimes that can wound you, mm-hmm. right? Like, let me just stay there for a second, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, go ahead.
As a pastor, you can be wounded, not so much by the outcome, mm-hmm. but the environment you have to work in.
Wow.
I know Jesus said, you know, he couldn't do any miracles because of the faith of certain people in one town.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's how you feel. Like you're working, you're trying to bless people. You're really trying to do the best. You're trying to be the best man, mm-hmm. best woman you can be. And then on the back end of that, you're getting all the hate. You're getting the spite. Nothing seems to be going right. Nothing seems to be going your way. And you kind of have to have a resolve in your heart, mm-hmm. that God, I'm going to trust your plan,
yeah.
regardless of what happens. And that's what happens to all of us. And another thing I learned is to love those you have right now.
Mm.
That's like, man, I love you, mm-hmm. right? Like, all
I
jokes
love
aside,
you too.
I love you, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't tell each other that. Mm-hmm. We don't, you know, we act like tomorrow is forever.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow's not forever. Sometimes it's finite.
Mm.
And you know, sometimes you just gotta tell people I love you. Tell your kids you love them.
Yeah.
And then I guess you said you asked for three things, right?
Yeah. How many? Yeah. You know, I didn't know how many you had. So I mean, you can keep rolling, man. You keep rolling as many as you want to get out. Get them out. Yeah.
And then I say the third one is God blesses those
mm-hmm.
who work.
Mm.
And when I say that, I mean it like this. Is that sometimes we have these lofty visions and goals,
mm-hmm.
right? Things we like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. God mm-hmm. just bless me.
Yeah.
Well, God is going to bless you through your work.
Mm.
Sometimes you just got to work with what you have right now.
Yeah.
If it's just one step that you have. Sometimes we want the whole game plan.
Yep.
God, roll it all out. Let me see what you got. But sometimes God say, okay, I'm going to give you just one step.
Yep.
He says, doesn't he say, if you faithful over a few things,
yep.
I'll make you Lord over me.
Yep.
Just be faithful over that one step.
Mm-hmm.
Start the LLC. Start the business.
That's good.
Go out there, preach one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go up there, sing. Just learn one praise song.
Right.
You might not be the praise leader right now.
Right.
But learn one praise song. Do something.
Yeah.
You know, start one class at a time, whatever it is, and God will bless you continually if you're working through it.
Yeah.
So that's about what I got right now.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, man. All great, great, great things I know people going to eat up and take away from. If I could start, I think that the first thing that, let me say, let's give a big shout out to Pastor Allen, because he recently completed his degree program at the University of Phoenix. Okay,
hey.
You know, during that time. So big ups to you. Big ups to you.
Look, man, you're right there.
Hey.
Look, we're sharing this glory, right?
hey, October can't get here long enough.
Look,
man.
Here, tell me.
I'm almost there. Hey. Matter of fact, I got a paper due tonight before 2 a.m.
Oh, my
God. Because I got the itis, man. I got the senior itis. I wait till the last minute to get it done, man. But, you know, I'm still busting up these A's, so I'm grateful and thanks all be to God. But I think the first thing that I'll say over the last couple months or a year since whatever is that I think you said trust the plan, whatever. It's kind of right in alignment with that, man, because I just felt like when I realized that, you know, I wanted different things out of life and I wanted this and I wanted that and I wanted this, I started to maneuver myself into those positions.
Mm.
So I maneuvered myself into those positions, but then I looked at like, dang, man, I got a long way to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like, and that was just, that like gave me anxiety, man. Like that gave mm-hmm. me like, angst, because it was like, okay, Justin, and I'll just use school for example. Okay, Justin, you back in school, you want the degree, you back in school, boom. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at like, the only way I can get a degree though is if I complete 20 classes. So I was like, I don't care how much faith you got, I don't care how much speaking in tongue you gotta sit down and let time have its course.
That's it.
You can't speed it up. You can't rush it.
Oh,
it's like, you know, it's like wanting something really, really bad. And so, you know, like, I guess like trusting the process or just like enjoying the process, because it's in the process where you learn how to be diligent. You know, it's in the process where you learn how to be faithful. It's in the process where what you need for what's next is in the process is where you're groomed and when you get ready, you know, ready for it. But, you know, I was like, oh man, I gotta, you know what I'm saying? And so I had to learn how to just be like, you know what? Let me stop trying to rush the process and just try to enjoy it and try to enjoy every class, every teacher, every assignment. Let me just enjoy it, because I can't speed it up. I can't make it go any faster. You know, it's preset. I can't fix it. It's preset. And so I think a lot of times we want to rush things in life. We want things to happen. But just understanding that everything has a time. And everything has a season.
Yes.
And enjoy the season that you're in, because if you enjoy the season that you're in, the season that you're in will equip you for what's next.
That's it.
And if you go ahead of the process, if you skip the process, if you skip the line, you know, you might not have the integrity for the next season. You might not have the wisdom for the next season. So there's something to be learned and something to be gained where you are. Just go through the process.
That's what's up.
And I guess I'll label it as this. Is that understanding seasons. I think it's important that we understand seasons. You know, as sure as it could be spring, summer is coming. You know, it's only a matter of time before the flowers start blooming, the weather start getting hot. It's only a matter of time.
That's it.
But sometimes in seasons, we think that seasons are forever. We think it's just going to be midnight forever. We think it's just going to be hard work forever. But if you can just hang on in there, the season is going to change. And so I think, that's two things. One thing that I've learned over the last couple years, whatever.
You preaching.
Man.
You preaching. These potholes ain't going to last forever.
Ain't going to last forever. They ain't. They can't. You know, they going to get patched or fixed, or the road going to get redid at some point.
There you go.
That's at some point. And so the next thing so – you know, man, Lord has elevated me. You know, I've been a minister and, you know, preaching since I was probably about 13. But back in this fall, Lord saw fit to elevate me to an associate pastor.
Elevation.
Yeah, man, it's come from God, because, yes. Man, I'm telling you, I didn't want it and definitely didn't see it coming. The last thing on my mind was trying to be somebody's pastor. You know what I mean? Like 100, for real.
Yes.
But God, you know, saw fit, and, you know, this thing has happened, and I've wholeheartedly accepted it. And, you know, just in managing people, managing people and dealing with different people, I think that I have been very stern in my life and just like black and white, like right is right, wrong is wrong. Yep. I mean, and it is, but I feel like I've been softened to a place where I understand that we all need grace in different areas.
Cool. Tell me about it.
You know, the grace that I need may not be the grace that you need, but I can't be frustrated with you because you need grace in the area. Because if we flip it to me, I need grace in the area. And so, you know, it's like everybody needs and deserves God's grace. And it's important that we give it. And, you know, and I've heard the saying, you know, if you point one finger at somebody, you got three pointing back at you. You know, we say that and it becomes cliche. But when you really sit down and really analyze that thought, is that if the moment that I point out the speckle in your eye, the moment that I point out the fault in your eye, I'm just ignoring what's in me, the ones that's coming back at me. Because
that's making me blind.
Yeah. Right, because the truth be told, there are some areas, you know, I may be strong in this area. You may be weak in that area. But if we go through my life, you will find a weak spot.
That's all of us.
Yeah, man. Ooh, so Jesus. Just understanding that, like, people need grace, man. Yeah. Like, and people just, some people just don't know. Some people just don't have it. Some people just don't know right from wrong. Some people just don't know how to communicate.
That's it.
And the job as a leader, man, is just to foster the environment where I don't punish people for not knowing, but I show them how to do it. You know, through love, through grace, through communication. So I think that's been big. for me that I've learned to just give grace, man. Just give grace.
That's an episode by itself right there. He's done it. I'm taking my headphones off. He's done it again.
Yeah, man. We just all in need of the grace, man. And I think the next thing that I've learned, man, I think a lot of times, man, as men, at least I'm gonna say for me, you know, when I think about my marriage and I think about, you know, who my wife is to me and our family and stuff like that, it's easy to get caught in loving people the way you think they should be loved. Mm. You know,
wow. Okay.
And like, you know, I'm a provider, you know, I provide for my family, you know what I mean? And it's like, and I think that I'm an awesome provider. I know that I'm an awesome provider. I know that. But just because I'm an awesome provider does not mean that that is the end be all in my relationship with my wife. Mm-hmm. So I can't look at my strengths and say, well, I provide for you. So don't complain about nothing else.
Woo.
But I got to learn how to love her how she needs to be loved.
Yes.
So I just not only can, it's good that I'm a provider and it's good that I'm a good provider. But if, you know, I got to find different ways in loving her or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, our spouses or God, I think God somehow uses our spouses to pry at our weaknesses or our insecurities or our struggles or the things that we need to grow in to help expose those things so we can deal with them. And I just think that, you know, I've learned in like, man, that, you know, loving my wife, and I guess I used to come from a thought process that I've done enough, you know, but it's like you never can do enough.
You're not alone.
Because it's like in loving, in me doing enough and saying that this is enough, I've done enough here, that would be saying that I loved me enough. You know what I mean? It's like, because it's like we're one.
Yes.
So in pouring in love and pouring love into her is ultimately pouring love into me.
Yes.
And so just getting out of this mindset where like, well, you know, I did A, B, and C, so you ain't got nothing. Any discrepancies you got, I don't even care, because I did what I'm supposed to do. I'm a good father. I'm a good husband. You better ask about me. You know what I mean? It's just like getting out of that mindset that I've done enough or I'm doing enough. And it's like, no. Even if I feel like I'm doing enough, then I need to find another area to pour into my wife, into my marriage.
That's it.
So,
and that's because, you know, I think you made a great, and see, I can see you. Our audience can't see you.
But right.
You were kind of doing something with your hands, like back and forth. And it made me think immediately that love is fluid.
Yeah.
Right? Like it pours and it goes and it rolls the two of us.
Yeah.
You know, me and my wife, you and your wife. It rolls in between and it helps us to be better, because a lot of times, and a lot of men have this issue, right? Like, because we're taught to be providers, to be breadwinners. We're the hunter-gatherers. This is what we do. But the truth is that those are just the bare minimum of our job. That's not even on the tier of good husband.
Yep.
Let me put it like that. That's not even on the tier of good husband.
Right.
Good husband goes beyond those things and looks not just at the provision, but also what do you need?
What do you need?
Do you need to talk? Do you need comfort? Do you need, you know, a touch other than just a sexual touch?
Yeah.
Do you need that? That's what, you know, is that what you need? And then vice versa, because if your wife just cooked for you, right? I'm old school, so I hope I don't offend nobody right here, right? Because, you know, we do men and woman roles in my household. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Right? If my wife just cooked, that's it. Right? Like, okay, back in the day, women were taught, just cook, clean your house. That's it. That doesn't make a good wife.
Right.
That alone does not make a good wife. You need comfort. You need help. You need all these things. So I think you made an excellent point. Man, we could talk about that all day. But, man, that was great, man. And let me take a minute to celebrate you.
Right? Oh, man. Thanks,
because,
man.
You know, the whole pastorhood, right? I've seen, like, we've been knowing each other, what, 11 years?
Yeah.
10, 11 years, 10, something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
And I have seen your development and your growth over the years, and it's amazing to me, and it's a beautiful thing, right? I remember seeing your sermons, hearing your sermons, being right there with you on the pulpit, and then to see you now in the elevation, and I know the overseer you with, right? Like, I know all of it. To see you there, it makes my heart glad and godly proud,
mm-hmm.
because I know, you know, how much you love God.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, people will say, and you know, I've seen good and bad, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you've seen good and bad, yeah. with me. We've seen good and bad. Not that you've done bad.
No, I got but you.
We, you know, that's how life is.
Yeah.
And to see you hold on, mm-hmm. hold out, persevere, push mm-hmm. through. I'm really godly proud of you, man. I just want to say congratulations.
Man, thank
and
you.
And the church you're with, man, they just going to... I know they blessed already because mm-hmm. I see what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to be even more blessed because God is just... He's still with you. His hand's on you.
Man. Yeah, man. I thank you so much for that, man. It's good. If, you know, I think that, you know, I got this thing, man, where it's like... you know, it's like... It's almost like I don't want to be celebrated, but I'm learning that it's good to be celebrated. It's yeah. good to. And so I'm trying to get out of this thing of being like, you know, like, no, don't celebrate me. Don't celebrate me. But like, but thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, man. And yeah, man, I'm excited about what God is doing. I think that this is God because, you know, I wasn't looking for, this was not what something I was looking for. It's not yeah. something I was trying to do. It's something that, you know, I felt led after being out of church, you know, for a while. I felt led to go back and, you know, relationships just forged. Yeah. It was nothing that I sought out. I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
One thing led to another. I ended up here and it's been all good. It's been all God. And I've really been enjoying it, man. Shout out to Pastor Sam Moore.
Yes.
Awesome guy. And the thing that I love about him, man, is that, you know, I guess coming from where I came from, and you know, and just having different leaderships, especially, you know, when one way was like, oh, you know, there's only one pastor in this house, and everybody needs to get the same message. That's why nobody else preaches mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And then to walk into this thing where it's like, yo, like I know I need to let you loose. Like I need to know, like go get him. Like it's kind of like whoa. And I just think that, you know, I love it and I feel so comfortable because I feel like there's no, you know, one thing I love that I feel like there's no drop off, right? Mm-hmm. So you know how when you got, it's two pastors in the house, two preaching styles, it's a guy,
yep.
you got one somebody like, and then that was like, man, like, I don't know about that, whatever. But like literally, I don't get that. I feel yeah. like the people are happy and excited when I get up, you know what I mean? So that's cool, but me and Pastor Sam's relationship, man, you would think that, you know, just the way that he respects me and the way that he regards me,
yes.
and this is your house that mm-hmm. you literally built with your hands, and how he freely just releases it and just gives it, it's just like, wow, man, like, for you to be this way, it's just like, it's nothing but God, because, yes. especially from what I've seen, you know mm-hmm. what I mean, and what I've been up under. It's just, it's night and day, and we got a good thing going, man. If you ever in the metro Detroit area, man, I'm telling you, the best kept secret in Roseville is Conquerors Church.
Yes.
And I believe that God is doing something. We're building a nucleus right now, and we're being faithful right now, and I think it's only a matter of time before the floodgates open,
mm-hmm.
and we have to do like double services, because I feel like we're putting that much effort, we're putting that much energy, that much spirit of excellence into our service,
yes.
into our worship,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, coronavirus has come, you know, people not really in church, you know, numbers are up, numbers are down, you know what I'm saying, whatever, but I'm looking forward to a consistent packed out house, and it's not because to say that we got X amount of members. I'm not mm-hmm. looking for, you know, 1,000 members on my row to brag and say I got this yeah. amount of members, but I'm looking for people to be blessed, man.
Yes, lives change.
Yeah, lives change.
That's what
man.
It's about.
You know, that's what it's all about. And you know, I think that you know, I just think we got some good things going on, and man, I just think that thing is bubbling right now. It's bubbling,
it's bubbling,
and sooner or later, man, it's gonna spill out,
yeah.
and you know, and it's gonna be out there. So I'm excited, I guess, nonetheless, to see what the Lord is doing, and just how He's just continuing to grow me. And I'm just saying, yes, man, it's along for the ride. So it's like wherever this goes. It's where it goes, and I think that's the good thing about it is, like, I don't have any expectation.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be the next big preacher, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. It's just like, God, whatever you want me to do, it's like, even if he told me tomorrow that, like, that this season was over, I'd be like, I bet. What's okay. next? All like, right. I wouldn't even care because I'm like, I'm so into purpose, into fulfilling what I feel like God has called me to do, that it don't matter about the platform. It don't matter about the, you know, anything. Like, it just matter about operating in purpose.
That's
so.
It. That's it. And, you know, it's so refreshing to hear that, right? Mm-hmm. Let me just have a moment of transparency. Yeah, go ahead. Right? Because throughout all of Corona, like, it's been hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's been hard to pastor.
Okay.
It has. And, you know, you have moments where you're seeing great things, great change.
Okay.
And then you have moments where you're like, oh, when is change going to come? And to hear that perspective, man, is good. I know you very well. I know Pastor Sam very well. Actually, he was, and I told you this before, he used to be our men's day pastor.
Okay.
When I was like, I'm not going to date myself, but we were listening to Kirk Franklin, the first and second CD. but you know, it's good to hear that because you don't always find that in ministry, right? You don't find those loving arms to embrace you.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that you know, anybody who's listening to this podcast, that's what you want.
Yeah.
It's not about the biggest choir. It's not about the biggest building. It's not about a name, but it's about love and grace.
And yeah.
And that's what I hear from you. I know you said, oh, I was out of church. You were never out of church, in my opinion. You was coming to help me with services.
Yeah.
You was helping other folks with services. You were in service. I seen you all the time, but it just wasn't that right fit
right
away.
Yep.
And I applaud, again, your perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
Because you and your wife are like, all right, we just keep looking. We're still looking for God to plant us in the right space.
Yeah.
And he has, man. And it's like almost immediately you're springing up.
It's just
You're springing up. So good stuff there, man. And I'm gonna be happy to be in the house, and I'm gonna have to get some I'm gonna have to get one of my associates, ministers, or somebody to kind of cover for me.
When it's your day,
yeah. I will be there.
Okay.
I will be there.
Yeah, man. And Pastor Allen came, and man, COVID hit our church right at the top of the year. I think that was the first Sunday of the year you came.
Was it the first Sunday?
Was the first Sunday.
Wow, okay. Yeah.
That was the first Sunday of the new year, man. Right around night watch service, this Omicron hit. It was the first time in the 2 years of coronavirus I ever got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fine. I didn't have really any symptoms, but I just tested positive.
Yeah.
My whole house did, actually, around that time. And then it was like a ripple effect. After I got it, Pastor Sam couldn't. So we had a guest for night watch. And we had you for so it was like those are like the first service Sunday of the year and the last, you know, service of the year. Yeah. Like, we weren't able to do it. And you know, I called my brother and my brother came through, you know, and you know, and I just want to say that, you know, that's what real brothers do. And I appreciate you and I love you for that, because anybody can be your brother when it's laughs and giggles and stuff like that. But a real brother is going to come through, you know, it's make a way, rearrange, you know, run late, whatever, to figure it out, to cover. And that's love, man. So, you know, anytime you need me, you already know. All you got to do is call.
Oh,
man.
Don't worry, man. This is what I need right here. This is good, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you this, but, you know, the Lord was with me as I was driving down the freeway that Sunday. I'm not going to say my miles per hour, but we made it to both services on time.
There you go.
That's all I got to say.
There you go. Thanks be to God.
That's it.
Well, listen, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this catch up. We'll be back with you guys next week, giving you not so current events, but giving you wisdom and knowledge to help enlighten, inspire, and encourage you as you grow in this thing called life. So if you haven't already, please like, share this, share it with somebody, rate us, leave a comment, follow me on Instagram at Mr. Hearn _. Also, you can follow Pastor Allen at
D_Allen_blessed.
And you can follow my church at Conquerors Church on YouTube and Facebook. We are always live at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings and 7 o'clock on Wednesday afternoons.
And you can follow Zion Progress Missionary Baptist Church on Facebook. Or you can just follow me, Damon Allen, on Facebook.
Cool. So check us out. We love you guys. Hope to hear from you soon. If you're listening to the show and you add us, make sure you send us a DM so we can know who you are. Thank you. Be blessed.